The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
The mayor of Evergreen Park, Kelly Burke, is on next week's program. If you've missed any of the previous shows, they're on demand anywhere podcasts can be found and always at theeppodcast.com. There are some good ones recently, but next week the mayor is on, so make sure if you have anything you want to ask her, you reach out through theeppodcast.com. You can send a voice message. You can write us your question. We want to hear it. On the program this week, the chief of the Evergreen Park Fire Department is in here to talk about the uptick in a certain type of call that the fire department keeps having to handle. And our good friend Frank Murray stops by. He's got a setup that's got free streaming from the library to you. So the next 30 minutes is brought to you by the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. Your child's bright financial future starts with learning good money habits early in life. Help them get ahead with a junior savers account from the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. With a junior savers account, kids earn interest on every dollar they deposit so they can watch their money grow. Show your kids how fun and rewarding saving can be and set them up for success. No minimum deposit. Stop in and see them in the iconic building on the corner of 95th and Pulaski, the First National Bank of Evergreen Park, member FDIC. Sitting down here at the 9-foot homemade oak bar. It's his first trip to here. Like I've gone to you a couple of times. We've met out in public. We've been at events before. But the chief of the Evergreen Park Fire Department, Ron Kleinhaus, is down here. How are you, Chief?
Good, Chris. Appreciate the invite. And you're right. First time is very impressive. I'm glad I finally made it downstairs.
I'm glad you're down here. I know that there's a lot of things going on with the fire department. I see you guys are always very, very active. I know that we've got one of your lieutenants coming in here talking about an event in a couple of weeks. But something I want to ask you about, and I'll kick it off right away, because I know you got a little list there and some things you want to go over. But my folks are parishioners of Queen of Martyrs. And now I'm hearing that Bernadette is finally closing. And that's another neighborhood in Evergreen Park. And there's going to be a procession of sorts with the cross and possibly the tabernacle and everything after their last mass has to be transported over. And the Evergreen Park Fire Department is helping out. And I thought that was super cool, the idea that they're going to kind of have a little procession where these very important items from the church are moved over to their new home over at Queen of Martyrs.
Our part of the procession is going to be to move the cross. Father Benedict and Assistant Chief Hojak have been working on measuring the cross, finding a way to mount it on the apparatus, setting up the procession with the mayor. I'm not sure what else you're going to be moving on that Sunday morning, but one way or another, that cross is getting mounted to a fire engine to be part of the parade that goes from St. Bernadette's to Queen of Martyrs.
Sounds like a lot of pomp and circumstance. Like, I mean, I know that they've asked parishioners over at Martyrs to stand outside as it comes in, almost like an honor guard. Like, you might have a crowd that day. And you know, I mean, we always talk about like the things like, you know, safety and fire. And right now, as we're talking, your radio's going off in the background because you're always linked in and you're working even while you're sitting here. But you know, the Evergreen Park Fire Department is also a big representative whenever there's something going on in the Village of Notoriety, a procession of sorts, an event like this, a parade, you know, and I would imagine that that's become old hat to you.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, every year they had a 4th of July parade. The firefighters try to get involved as much as they can in the community. We're also always part of all the village events, the now Oktoberfest and the Labor Day celebration in the park. So the guys try to get involved whenever they can. A few weeks ago, and maybe longer than that, the library brought back their little sip and taste. I'm not exactly sure what the title of it
was. I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, we had a couple of
drinking amongst the books.
A couple of our guys that were over there cooking some stuff for them and got some pretty good reviews. So we stay pretty busy.
So I have an uncle who's a CFD. And, you know, I in fact, he retired recently. And when I was younger, I got to go hang out at the firehouse. And what I learned was that firemen love to cook. Like, they really do like to cook. And I know that the way that your department is set up is different from Chicago. Are they part-time, right? Or
right.
They're staying overnight.
Right.
Like, it's not like hometown where a siren goes off and they're running over there. So they are staying overnight. So they probably have kitchens and they probably like to cook. And I noticed that whenever I visited my uncle, there was a giant pot of chili or somebody was like cooking a pig. I mean, like, and I notice at all the events, these guys are in a big huddle around a bunch of grills and they're cooking. Is it similar over at your department?
Yeah, I mean, we have two shifts, a day shift and a night shift. They work 12 hours. The day shift tends to cook a little bit more than the night shift because a lot of those guys are coming from full-time jobs that they've been at during the day. A lot of them are firemen in, you know, other communities, a lot of guys from Chicago. But actually Monday, a shameless plug for Fox 32. I don't know if you watch the show or not, but Natalie Bomke was in our firehouse Monday morning with one of our guys doing a segment on firehouse cooking.
Interesting.
She's been doing
for, what are they going to feature?
I think it airs May 8th. I think it's a morning news segment, a regular segment on the morning news. In talking to her, she had sent this thing out over social media and however else they publicized it. Got like 60 replies from not only suburban fire stations, but a lot of Chicago firehouses too. And when I talked to her on Monday, she said she was going to try to hit as many of them as she could until they told her you're not going out anymore. So I know she's got at least the first 20 set.
Do you guys know what you're cooking?
Well, they filmed it. One of our lieutenants, Brian Velchek, was cooking steak sandwiches.
Steak sandwiches.
Yeah, and it was pretty interesting. And then, you know, like I told you when I got down here, they always told us to be on the other side of the camera, but she wanted a little history on the fire department and kind of like what you just alluded to, you know, how it's staffed part-time and the village gets the benefit of 24-hour coverage for substantially less than what it would be to have career firefighters, I guess. They still have 10 people on duty 24 hours a day. They just work on a part-time basis. So it's a win-win for everybody.
You know what I always wondered is, I know over at Ukich, I think you have something that's over there, if I'm not mistaken, that almost is like a training thing. It looks like stairs
right.
that go up and stuff like that. Do you ever do demonstrations? Like, I've lived here for years. I've been over at Ukich, and I always wonder, like, it'd be great if all of a sudden I got to see them in action on that thing. Like, have you ever thought about inviting the public to kind of see it, or light something on fire and let everybody kind of see it, like what you guys do?
We do it every year at the open house. They'll have a car out there that they cut up for a demonstration of an auto extrication. They'll smoke up the cans and drag a line in there and throw a ladder up and pull the rescue dummies that we have there. I think we did it one year for the kids' health fair, but more so on the open house. We get tours when the weather gets better, but it's kind of hard to, unless the guys are actually having scheduled drill in the cans the day that that there's a tour coming through. But definitely every year on the open house we do it.
One of the things I've always noticed about firemen, and maybe you can speak to this as well, they have certain things that I think generally people are a little nervous about that they don't seem to be nervous about at all. Like I mentioned my uncle. This is a guy who will just walk across my roof like he's walking down the street. I get nervous up on the roof. He just walks across. He just goes up there. He just like, oh, this is over here. And he's standing right on the end, and he kind of skips across the roof like he's not nervous about the fact that it's on a 45-degree angle or anything. It's normal to him. And then he seems to just enjoy blowing stuff up and lighting things on fire. Like, he's been around fire so much, fire doesn't make him nervous. That's basically the same for all of them?
That's why we have such great barbecuers, because they're not afraid to be around that live fire grill. I'm not going to lie to you, Chris. We've got guys that aren't crazy about being up on roofs. They make better engine people than they do truck people, and we got people that like climbing on ladders on roofs, and they make better truck people and dragging line down hallways. So it's kind of I don't think it's a 50-50 split, but it all evens out. I mean, over time, this is not the person that you want to assign to the ladder truck that day because they're not crazy about climbing that ladder if they got to go up and open a roof. But yeah, you do, over time, you get a little silly about stuff, and things that you see all the time tend not to bother you as much as they used to when you first started out.
What are the bigger calls that you're getting, or the ones that are most frequent right now? Is there something that's seasonal that's happening right now, or is there something you're seeing more of or less of?
We're actually seeing a lot more, unfortunately, substance abuse calls. and okay. psychiatric emergencies that we used to. And I've had conversations with the mayor about this before, because she gets a copy of, on a weekly basis, of every call we go on in a seven-day period gets emailed to her. And I think some of it is still residual effects of people being locked up for so long, people that had issues that couldn't get out and get help. A lot of it is...
still more COVID stuff, that like it's still lingering.
A lot of it is people that used to be able to get services that are no longer available. And now they're living on the streets, and things are starting to affect them. We actually got into a partnership with, well, it's called ILEAS. It's the Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System. It's kind of like the police department's version of our fire department ABA system, where they can call other communities if they need help in a hurry. They'll send, you know, two squad cars from Evergreen, one from home, timing if somebody needs help. They have a response system set up, but they formed a partnership with the Illinois Department of Public Health to get Narcan, nasal spray Narcan, out to first responders. They actually...
That's a big thing now, right? That's like the thing that you give to somebody who's overdosing.
Right.
That's supposed to, like, you know, shock the system, save them from the overdose.
Yeah, and the legislature actually passed a law that mandates that everybody has to have it now, police department. Well, I mean, we always had it in the ambulance, but... first responders, police departments, fire departments. So they actually shipped us, I don't know how many doses. We're a little over 80 some people. We got enough Narcan to issue it to each one of our people to keep in a coat pocket of their fire coats, and add 10 more sets to each of our fire apparatus, in addition to what they call leave behind kits. So if we get a call to a residence in town where it's an opioid overdose or something similar to that, where we administer an Narcan, we have, once they transport the patient, there's a plastic envelope that has two more doses of Narcan, an information sheet, and a fentanyl test strip, because the bad part of a bad situation to begin with is they're lacing the stuff with fentanyl. I mean, you never know what's in it to begin with, but the fentanyl is a lot more prevalent now, and that'll kill you a lot faster than the dose of something with an opioid in it. So if we do transport somebody from residence, our guys can actually leave that kit behind. Hopefully the person that they take is going to get help and not have that problem again. But, you know, reality says that there's a better than a good chance that they will. So at least the family will have something to try and offset the effects of whatever this person take before they can get there through a 911 call.
Is there a lot of training that has to be done to identify when to use that? Because I would think that if you use it and somebody's got a problem that's not an overdose, you could actually, like, that it can get tricky, right? So, I would imagine that makes you just a little bit nervous, or there's a lot of training of, like, hey, this is how you identify it is an opioid thing, because it could be something completely different.
Right. A lot of it is based off of people that know the person that's involved. There's not a lot of contraindications for, you know, a small dose of Narcan being administered nasally. It's really not going to hurt anybody. So better to err on the side of giving it to them and not giving it to them. But yeah, there's, you know, the training program for the kits that we got. I mean, and all of our people are trained because they're on the ambulance anyhow. So we carry it on the ambulance. They know how to use it. It's just something that they got. If they pull up, if an engine or a ladder company gets assigned to an ambulance call before the ambulance gets there, they've got the stuff to start working on somebody before the paramedics arrive. So, but yeah, there's a little bit of training that goes on it, because the doses that we carry on the ambulance are different than the doses that we get through the grant program. Basically, it's a nasal administration versus IV. So, yeah.
Do you ever find, like, it's weird, like, with the guys that come from other departments? They probably have their own operating procedures, their own way of doing things. Are you guys similar? Do you try to mimic what other departments do, so that because, like, if a guy learns one way of doing things and learns another way, he might get confused?
The actual fire department operations are the same. I mean, it's the same tools and the same equipment, different type of apparatus maybe. So, you know, the roof saw might be in this compartment of one truck and on the officer side of another truck. I mean, we're all carrying basically the same stuff. The hose loads might be a little bit different, but it's nothing that's, you know,
it's pretty similar.
Yeah, you can pretty much walk into anybody's fire station and be able to start working. I mean, the ambulance is a little bit different because they're based on regional EMS systems, and one system might carry a drug that the other system doesn't carry. But all the people that come from outside departments that work in our department have to get certified. In our system, it's a South Cook County EMS system out of Ingalls Hospital. So they have to, if they're not in our system, they have to test in our system. A part of that is learning the stuff that we carry. So it's not that big of an issue.
Anything you want to warn people about going into the summer, something they should be watching out for, something that you see kind of happen when the summer months are out there?
Keep your barbecue grills and your fire pits away from your house and your garage, basically.
That's a good idea. You walked up and saw where mine was stored, and you were probably like, that's right up against his house.
You know, we kind of chuckled when Natalie from Fox 32 was there. She's, you know, kind of, have you ever talked on camera before? And I try not to, but several years ago, he's on another station now, and I mean, we're not going to hurt anybody's feelings here. Patrick Elwood was actually a resident in town here. He's on WGN, but when he was on Fox, he came out and filmed the Don't Drop the Frozen Turkey in Your Turkey Fryer on Your Deck. So we did that out in the field behind the firehouse to show the bad things that happen when you just drop a frozen turkey in a pot of boiling, you know, cooking oil, and it flashes over. And unfortunately, and we've been very lucky here, it hasn't happened in several years, but we did have a couple. I think people with turkey fires finally got the message to keep them away from
their house outside, and their children. Yeah, let's be honest. Like, that's why I've never done it. I've never done it because of like the idea that like if I do something wrong here, I might wipe out one of my children in this thing. So I don't. I've never used them. I think one of the kids actually asked a few years back, like, why don't we ever try this? And I'm like, because of you. That's why I don't try this.
And we've actually had, you know, recently last year. I mean, we actually got a couple calls for people that were. They don't want to stand in the rain with their grills, and they dragged them into their garage.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Not that it caught the garage on fire, but the neighbors see the smoke pouring out of this guy's garage, and they're calling in, you know, my neighbor's garage is on fire.
Right, and that guy's lucky he doesn't get carbon monoxide poisoning.
The guy's sitting in his lawn chair in the back watching. Yeah, so the important safety tip is don't put anything that has flames on it inside or under a structure.
Don't screw around with your grills, folks.
Right.
Chief, I really appreciate you stopping by. I learned a little bit today, and I got one of your lieutenants coming in here in a couple of weeks for some more events that are coming up with the fire department. Should be a busy summer for you. Hopefully not too busy.
Yeah.
Less people burning down their garages, more parades.
Yep.
That's what I wish for
Sounds good.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country Financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. It is now time for your EP podcast, Word on the Street, brought to you by SidSauce.net. The only place I get my hot sauce from is SidSauce, and there's always a new flavor to try. I don't care what you're making, there is a SidSauce for it. I just put it on a spoon and eat it from time to time. I like hot things. The pepper's grown in Evergreen Park. It's delivered to your door here locally for free. See everything they have at SidSauce.net. The Evergreen Park Farmers Market is reopening this week on May 2nd. Yukich Field, 88th and Kedzie, kicks off at 8 a.m. going until 1 in the afternoon. Throughout the month of May, the opening month, experience all things spring. And check out the vendors' spring plants and flowers, all brought to you by the Office of Citizen Services. Farmers Market is every Thursday, 8 a.m. until 1 through October. And remember to register for Waste Not's Curbside Compost Collection Service. We had them on just recently talking about this program. It's really cool. Folks can pre-register now. The compost service begins June the 3rd. There is a link directly to the registry at evergreenpark-ill.com.
Little Company of Mary, OSF, is having their Mother's Day Breast Cancer Walk on Sunday, May 12th. $40 adult registration, 18 and younger, the kiddies, $20. You get a t-shirt and you're supporting a wonderful cause. Plus, hopefully you get a really good day to walk around just outside of Evergreen Park in Ridge Park. If you have any questions, want more info, email info@bbcwalk.org or give them a call at 708-229-5022. Frank Murray is sitting down here at the 9-foot homemade oak bar. How are you, buddy?
Chris, I'm doing great.
So I had a question for you that's been kind of rattling around in my brain.
Thanks especially, for having me, too.
Oh, of course. You don't need to thank me. You're such a regular, I don't even worry about you thanking me. You just stop by anytime
you want
to. I
just show up on a monthly
basis. By the way, Frank is an assistant coach on my kids' Little League team this year with the Evergreen Park Baseball Club. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, he's standing next to me before he goes into the dugout. I'm not coaching. At that age, it's like herding cats. I can't do it. Okay. I did it with the older kids. I'm not going back into that again. It's crazy, right? And you saw that. Yes. You felt that yesterday somebody in the dugout.
Yes.
But he walks up to me and right away, he's like, I can't find my cell phone. And it immediately dawned upon me that he was outside of his normal work hours and didn't have the big giant lanyard with the chain with his little name badge that he always wears when he comes over here. And all of his possessions aren't wrapped around his neck. And now I understand why you do it, because the moment your possessions were not wrapped around your neck, you lost one of them.
It's true. This is true. I did not get my phone back until about 9 o'clock that night when my wife dropped it off to me at my daughter's softball game.
I love
yes,
that.
This is why I have to keep things on.
That's why
me.
Things yes. are attached directly yes. to you. I absolutely love that.
In like 10 years, I'm going to be that person that has Velcro all over his body and pulling off his phone from his Velcro.
I've been doing a lot of stats research here for the company, not only for the EP podcast, but also for Sox in the Basement and Southside Pod and the other podcasts that I produce down here. And I was thinking about you coming on the show, and I was wondering,
yeah,
do you actually keep track of how much the library is used? You know, because it's not like you have a turnstile. It's not like I have to give a ticket. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine as the guy in charge of the whole thing, you're aware of when there's foot traffic, what people come for, what people use, and where you got to put your personnel.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. Every year we have to report it to the Illinois State Library. And then we also report it to the people of Evergreen Park. Right now, you can go on our website and check out 2023 by the numbers. It lays out. We got a really beautiful infographic that goes over the usage of the library. And I'm really proud to share some of this stuff. Like, for example, we almost had 100,000 visitors at the library in 2023.
Wow.
We had just under 97,919 people walk through the doors.
Well, I mean, you don't know. I mean, it's probably not 100,000 different people. People come back more than once, right?
Right.
But 100,000 times somebody walked in the door for service, right?
Correct.
That's incredible.
That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
And then we had, between our digital and physical items that we circulate, we had 98,210 items that were circulated. And right now, almost through the end of April, we're on pace to break 100,000. So we're really excited about that for this year, for 2024.
Now I hear those two numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that on average, that means every person basically grabs one circulated item. Is that?
That's how it almost evens out.
Right. So if it's one per, that kind of tells you, well, we know people take three or four things out sometimes. So there are people that use the library or come in here that never pick something up because they're here for something else.
They're here for something else. Yeah. Like, that's my whole motto, my whole line, right? The library is more than just books. People come in to use their study rooms. They just come in and use the study rooms. They just come in and use the computer labs. Or they just come in to attend one of our great events that we host without going and picking up a book.
Yeah.
And like you said, we'll have a lot of families that'll come and take out a stack of books at a time, you know, books at 10 or 15 at a time and go and enjoy those. And speaking of events, we broke a record, believe it or not, at the Evergreen Park Library in 2023. We had over 12,600 people come to attend our events.
Look at that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
I got a few of them when they came for
podcast. Yeah.
I got a few. I didn't do as good as the crowd that showed up for the guy who was doing the beer tasting. That place was packed.
That was packed, yes.
You got snacks and beer.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that was kind of a, I'm not bringing snacks and beer. I'm just talking about podcasts.
Just talking about podcasts.
Maybe next time I'll bring some beer.
We'll have a standing room only then.
If I go beer and podcasting, I think I can beat that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you
for
go.
Sure. Yeah.
There you go.
So when you get these numbers,
mm-hmm.
first off, you make them public. I'm sure you're required to do that. That's why you put them up there, right? Because mm-hmm. you're a government agency, essentially. But do you get people that ever look at them online and call you up with questions? Or is this just something you have to put up? Like, you got a guy who calls up and be like, hey, hold on a second now. I'm sitting at home with my abacus. And
these numbers don't
make any sense.
No, what we are required to report to the Illinois State Library.
Okay.
And just out of an abundance of transparency and to show off how our public library is being used, that's we post it online.
Okay.
For people to see what's going on at their library. So we're very excited to show that off, and not just our physical use, you know, it's the virtual use as well. So we're really excited to see the trend that it's going. So folks, keep on coming out to the library.
Okay, so give me a reason why
they should come out
to the library. What do we got coming up here in the month of May?
So in the month of May, we are launching a new service at the library where we're allowing folks to check out for a week a Roku streaming stick that comes loaded with access to Disney Plus, Hulu, and also the library's free streaming platform called Canopy, which with your Evergreen Park Library card, you can get access, log into that account and get access to over 20,000 titles.
I don't need a Disney Plus account because I'm getting Disney Plus. It's like a library account already. I'm just plugging it in
and then you can access it through your smart TV.
All right. Here's the question I have.
Yes.
This is the first thing I think of.
Yes. People are going to steal it.
No. Well, no? I mean, yeah, people are going to steal it. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Somebody gets this service.
Uh-huh.
They plug in the Roku. I use Roku. Like, that's what I do. I have a Roku ready TV, and then the other TV has a stick. So, I mean, I love Roku because I cut the cord a while ago.
Right.
I have no cable TV. My live TV, I use an antenna. Because something I learned was that with these smart TVs now, that old antenna from when you had it in college, that works again. Even though the digital thing has been upgraded, you don't need a special antenna because the smart TVs are so good. You can just use your old rabbit ears. If grandma and grandpa have one in the basement, go get it. You got live television
right
there.
Ready to go.
You can do it, uh-huh. right? So I cut the cord a long time ago mm-hmm. and got off all of it. I don't even have any of the services that do television because I can get everything I want through the streaming services. So first off, folks, you're going to love it. This is what I use. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get addicted to it. And that's, you really are. And then you're going to want to get your own.
Right.
But I know that the history of what you watch shows up immediately, right?
Yes.
Okay, Disney, not so concerned uh-huh. about. Hulu has some adult things that might show up that maybe aren't perfect for a 5 or 6 year old. Are you guys scrubbing that?
Yeah.
So if the guy beforehand watched American Horror Story or something that is going to pop up as a preference that's scary or something like that, is that going to get wiped?
Great question, Chris. Yes, that's on our to-do list. When the item gets checked out, we're just going to erase that back to what it was beforehand.
This goes back to I had the same concerns when you started letting people have laptops. I was like, oh my goodness, the things that some people are going to use these laptops for. You don't want anybody using that search history.
And then going on it again. Yes. Yes.
Why do I have so many
Very
pop-ups?
Well might be the case. Yes. What's going on here? But no, and that's the reason why we started the service is because we're just hearing more and more from people our DVDs. They're not circulating as much, and everyone's like, we're moving on to streaming platforms, and that's where it's all at. So we've upgraded our services to include Canopy, which is a digital streaming service that you can download on your smart TV. And now we're adding the Roku streaming stick.
I'm sure you also have to be very careful with the idea that I know with Roku, you could subscribe to other things.
Right. Yeah. So we've got
with your Roku account. Right. So you don't want somebody all of a sudden subscribing to 15 other things on the library.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, all of a sudden it's HBO Max.
Yeah. I mean, have you noticed that you come up with a brilliant idea. You're like, you know what? We're going to do something for the community. And my mind goes, this is how I would exploit this for evil. Like that's how I think.
I come on to see that evil genius side.
That's how I think. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I know how I would use this.
We've got everything set up for parental controls and password protected.
Okay.
So no one can get on and purchase another streaming platform or whatever.
If you've never streamed before, this is a great idea. You should do this. I'm going to tell you, my folks couldn't figure it out. I'm the one who got them like into the Roku thing. It's all my dad uses. Mm-hmm. In fact, I laugh at him because he still has regular cable. And I'm like, what do you watch on regular cable you can't get? And he can't come up with a reason. That's how hard it is for him to switch just straight streaming. So,
and we've got a great set of instructions in there to literally walk you step by step from taking which cord goes where into what part on your TV.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
And then
you plug it in.
And then we've got, we also have a book librarian service where if you're still struggling, we'll sit down with you one-on-one and walk you through the steps.
Yeah, you're going to find it very easy, folks. Mm-hmm. All right. We spent a lot of time on streaming.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what else you got going on.
All right. Well, I got to do a quick shout out here for not an event in May, but June 1st, Saturday, June 1st from 2 to 4 p.m. It's the return of our summer reading kickoff party. We've got a lot of fun planned at the library. Culver's is one of our sponsors, and they're sponsoring their delicious custards. So come while supplies last, it's limited, but make sure you're, hint, hint, make sure you're one of the first 200 people there and get in line for the Culver's.
200 custards. Get there while you can.
Do while you can.
Get there while you can. You know, what's funny is that like, you really got to be careful about that. Like I just saw, I have, so on Facebook, I barely use it, but there's this thing that shows me my Facebook memories.
Mm-hmm.
There was a principal maybe over 10 years ago at Most Holy Redeemer. Many principles ago, okay, not Dan Turney, who's over there, great guy, who did an icy machine.
Mm.
And in my memories, it popped up me laughing at the absurdity of people because they did the icy machine and not everybody was able to get an icy because they ran out. And parents went nuts. Like of all the things you could be concerned about, this was the end of the world because some kid couldn't get told, hey, sometimes in life, you're last in line and you don't get something. We couldn't teach that lesson. They went after the poor principal, who I don't think lasted very much longer at the school, all because of an icy. So I want you to retain your position.
Thanks, Chris.
At the library.
I would love to, too.
So make sure people know first 200.
First 200, folks, while supplies last. Make sure the first 200. We're also going to have, thanks to another generous sponsor, Sean Kelly from State Farm, we're having a petting zoo. There's also a dry ice demonstration, and we have a video gaming truck as well, all to promote summer reading and get kids excited about signing up, and adults too, kids and adults.
Sign up for summer reading. Nothing gets kids wanting to read in their free time than playing video games.
Hey, however we can get them in, Chris, however we can get them in. And then when I'm on next month, I can give you more information on the summer reading program
itself.
Oh, you
know, we're going to do it over here.
But make sure, save the date.
Little Nicky Lanuti, he takes it very seriously.
Good.
He's going to get in there.
And you know, he's not cheating like you do on it.
No,
so.
No. I just fill Saturday, in stuff and take the prizes.
Saturday, June 1st, 2 to 4 p.m.
I write in books that I read 20 years ago because they should count. That's it.
All right, we'll have a good conversation next time.
This year, I'm going to use all the books that I had in my Russian literature class back at U of I. When I took it as an elective because it fit my schedule, not because I had any interest in Russian literature. I barely passed that class. I'm going to use all those books. Little Tolstoy in there. I'm just going to throw it in.
Revisit them during June and July.
I should get credit for having to read it.
Revisit them during June and July.
I already did it.
We'll have a good talk.
All right.
Also, upcoming events that we have at the library for our youth. We have bilingual story time. That's Tuesday, May 14th at 6:30 p.m. We have Saturday Stories on Saturday, May 25th from 10:30 to 11:30. That's from ages 2 to 6. And then we also have Spring in STEM, which is Wednesday, May 1st at 3:45 p.m. We're going to be having a lot of fun activities with STEM there. Also, two more quick programs to promote for our youth. We have got a Mother's Day 3D printing workshop Wednesday, May 8th at 6 p.m. from grades 2 to 5. Design and make something for your mom. And jewelry making workshop for kids, Saturday, May 11th at 2 p.m. It's for grades 3 through 8. Get to make your own necklace.
Yes, because mom likes nothing more than your handmade jewelry. I mean, I've actually, my kids have made me stuff before and I've worn it. Okay.
Well, mom's going to really especially love her 3D printed stuff because you not only did you make it, you designed it.
Yeah.
And then it printed out on a 3D printer.
I think it's great. You got great ideas over there.
You know, you're every once in a while.
Yeah.
Rapid fire. For our teens, we're having an Uno tournament Wednesday, May 15th at 3:30 p.m. We're going to have snacks and prizes. For our adults, we're having a big Zoom author Cal Penn is going to be discussing.
Cal Penn?
Cal Penn. Tuesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. Make sure you register so you get the Zoom link.
And then get in there and just ask him questions about Harold and Kumar. That's all I want you to do.
Go to White Castle.
Just Harold and Kumar, questions. All of them. When will there be another Harold and Kumar? Yeah, what will Neil Patrick Harris do in the next movie? Like, hit him with those questions.
He'll be ready for it. He's trying to promote his book, and it's just nothing but Harold and Kumar questions.
You should give out free White Castle sliders at that event.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. That's a great idea. Great idea. But that's going to be on Zoom Tuesday, May 7th, 7 p.m. We also have a cupcake decorating workshop Thursday, May 13th at 6:30 p.m. We got a culinary arts instructor coming in to guide you on how to make a variety of flowers to decorate cupcakes. And then also, there's a new award-winning documentary called The Cycle of Memory. We're going to have a screening of that on Thursday, May 23rd at 6:30 p.m. It's about two siblings who take a bicycle adventure to find the memories of their grandfather that their grandfather lost due to Alzheimer's. And we'll have the director there to answer questions. His name is Alex Leff.
Wow.
So
his name is first Jeff, excuse me, and then it's Alex?
Yes, just Alex.
Okay. All right.
Alex Leff.
You're killing it.
I know.
You know, it was my fault. I got you into rapid fire. I did, but we needed rapid fire. Gosh. All right? I had 15 minutes for you today. That's all I got. All right? Maybe one day I'll give you more.
That's it.
That's all you get.
I'm out of here.
It's the EP Podcast. All things Evergreen Park. It's the EP Podcast. Evergreen Park.